Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hey everyone, welcome to Round Ball Stew. I am Matt Straub. It is Monday, November 29th, and today we will be looking at some key fantasy takeaways from a very long holiday weekend. We will discuss the fallout from the knee injury to Ja Morant, some waiver wire pickups to consider at the start of the week, and much more on this episode as I'm joined, as always on Mondays, by Steve Alexander. Steve, first things first, how was the holiday? And more importantly, how did the round of golf go where you predicted you would shoot an 86?
The round of golf went very poorly. Despite the best putter that money can buy, I cannot putt. I three-putted, I think, the first 7 or 8 greens in a row.
Man.
That was pretty rough. Had a little spill on Thursday night, late, playing a little competitive ping pong downstairs on the hardwoods.
Wow.
Do not wear slippers when you're playing ping pong and when you're trying to beat somebody who's kind of good. In fact, it was my neighbor, Jacob. You all remember my neighbor, Jacob.
Of course.
Yeah. I was playing against him.
Yes.
I went to put one away on him and my feet just went out from under me and it was not pretty, but I survived it.
Wow. So you're like a swing and a forehand. I assume you're a righty. You're coming around.
I was like backing up on it.
Okay.
And then went full. And then.
So the feet went out. What took the brunt of that fall? What body part bore the...
It's tough to say whether it was my ribs or my knees. It was a lot. My daughter, like everybody was laughing, and my daughter was standing over me going, "Do not laugh. He's old. This isn't funny." Because it was a pretty substantial fall.
Like a loud impact.
Yeah, like full body, like it just... Yeah, it was, and there's some girth. I carry some girth with me, Matt. I don't know if you know that, but it was a hard fall. But I got up, Matt, and I kept playing, and I didn't lose a game after that. I needed about a 10-minute little break, and then I just dominated.
I like you said, it's hard to tell whether it's the ribs or the knees, as if, like, you know, at a certain age, those parts of the body just blend together. It's just one nerve ending there between the ribs and the knees.
Well, both of my knees are pretty bruised up, and then I've got a, you know, somewhere some sort of rib contusion going on, but you know, I came out of it able to walk and still continue to beat people at ping pong. So I think I won. I wanted to comment on, you said, a very long Thanksgiving weekend. It was very long.
Yes.
Like on Saturday afternoon, my wife and I were driving around. I was like, I feel like it's been Saturday now for over a week.
Yeah. And what a Saturday it was. But by the way, I didn't know that you dabbled in ping pong, because I'm known to get out there and wail a few myself.
Yeah, I don't play around on the ping pong.
Yeah, I don't consider myself one to mess around on the ping pong pitch either. So one of these days.
But I don't play very often.
I haven't played.
We hadn't busted the table out in more than a year. Like, it's just been sitting in the corner of the family room.
It's the best. But by the way, speaking of, quickly before we get to basketball, and we are going to get to injuries, but speaking of injuries that happened to us, you fell, hit the hardwoods. I have a yearly tradition with some friends here where we play a touch football game the day after Thanksgiving. Now, this game got canceled in 2020. It came back this past Friday. I got out there and played, and truly, like, I managed not to actually get injured on the field. Like, one guy, the first route someone ran, the first play, dude I was guarding, pulls up, like, quad out. His quad was just done. Like, pulled his quad first play, running a hard pass route. I didn't get injured on the field, but truly my hamstrings have not recovered. I have, like, injuries that I didn't even know I sustained at the time. Like, I have a horrible Charlie horse on my leg. I don't even remember getting it. You know, it's just, man, touch football too, by the way. Not even like anything that intense, but the hammies are going to be, it's going to be a minute for these hammies.
Yeah, and using the ping pong muscles that I hadn't used in over a year. Like I was, because yeah. I don't spend a lot of time in the gym, Matt. I don't know if you knew that.
I had a sense.
When I play a game of ping pong, like for the first time in a year, we're using muscles that never get used. So
oh, yeah.
My calves were in pretty bad shape for the last 3 days. Like walking was a little bit of a struggle. So there were non-fall related injuries to the fall.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like a lot. Just like touch football.
Well, from our injuries, it is a long leap, but it's a leap we're going to make to Memphis, where there was some scary stuff. Scary stuff for fantasy managers over the weekend as John Morant injured his knee. Fortunately, the relief here is that it's being called a left knee sprain. I think a lot of people thought it could be worse when it happened. Now, Grizzlies coach Taylor Jenkins said Sunday, and this is per reporter Evan Barnes of the Commercial Appeal, that John Morant is expected to miss a few weeks. Steve, obviously, first things first, some huge relief there because, as I said, this looked like it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, for sure. Like when you get those initial reports from Woj and whatnot, you're like, let's hope this isn't a season ender. And I think there was some concern that it might be for Josh. So the fact that it's only going to be a few weeks is great news. But on the other hand, you know, when those of us who had Ja on our team last year, those few weeks were a painful several weeks early in the season. And I think it was an ankle last year. So, yeah, that just means there's opportunity for other guys, right?
Yes, and I think the pickup that many fantasy managers have already made is Tyus Jones. As we sit down on Monday, he's 27% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Now, Tyus Jones has been, I would say, good, not great as a starter. In 9 starts last year, he averaged around 9 points, 6.6 dimes, 1.9 steals, and 0.83. So, I mean, you love the steals and the dimes, and it's almost reminiscent to me of like TJ McConnell's fantasy blueprint, really. It's kind of like Tyus Jones becomes a good version of TJ McConnell as long as Ja Morant is out. Do you buy that comparison?
Yeah, I think he might be a little bit better. Like if you look at the Kings game, which was the last game they played, Tyus Jones only played 24 minutes in that game, but it was a blowout, and everybody only played 24 minutes or less. So Tyus Jones actually had the second highest minutes on the team behind Desmond Bane, who I think is a strong pickup right now as well. And then you know, DeAnthony Melton is going to come into play here also.
Yeah, with Melton, I mean, I do think we have to watch Melton's minutes because he only played 18 minutes in that last game. Does Taylor Jenkins, now Melton was getting a lot of minutes early in the year when Dylan Brooks was out, but how is this going to impact Melton's minutes is an open question to me, if at all. Does Taylor Jenkins really want to give Melton minutes in the, you know, mid to upper 20s, or is he happier giving Melton that 18 to 20 minute role? Remains to be seen, I think, Steve. I don't know if you have a lean on that.
Yeah, but I think Melton is worth a look now. Now, Melton was kind of being dropped in a lot of places, rightfully so, I think, because he wasn't getting minutes when Ja was there, but I mean, they need guards. They really don't have a big supply of guards on this team without Ja. So I think if I was picking guys up today in order, I think I would go Desmond Bane, then Tyus Jones, then DeAnthony Melton. But Bane's probably already gone in most leagues.
I would think so. Yeah, that makes sense. I do have Jones ahead of Melton as well. But I do think if Melton is sitting out there, he is definitely worth considering too. Now, meanwhile, news has come down that I think we were basically expecting at this point, but we were kind of just waiting for the confirmation on it. Michael Porter Jr. is having back surgery, and there's the Scherzi is on today. Did you put that on after the news, Steve?
Yep.
Yeah. According to Shams Charania, the expectation is he will miss the remainder of the season. So at this point, Steve, we talked about this last week. It's kind of like the bed is already made there in Denver. I mean, there's not a Tyus Jones to go get. We talked about Jeff Green's relatively low ceiling. So what is there really to do here? Nothing, right?
Nothing. I mean, you just do it. You just keep on keeping on.
You just put on your jersey and wonder what went wrong. How suck it down.
Put on your jersey and wonder where it all went wrong. It's pretty. It's sad,
painful.
Man.
In one of
it's sad.
It's brutal. In the NBC Sports Edge Company League, which is went to 14 teams this year, he was my third rounder, and that's going to maybe ruin me in that league. When a league that deep, it's hard to come back from losing your third round pick this early.
How'd you get him in the third round?
You'll have to double check. I don't know. It was somewhere in the. Did I make that up?
That seems.
Someone's gonna have to check me on that one.
I mean, if I was, I'm looking at. If I was in that draft room, he was your second round pick, Matthew.
Oh, even worse. I knew it was worse than I thought.
He was the eighth pick of the second round.
Painful. So like 22 or 23 or something like that?
Yeah.
Something like that. That really hurts. I'm upset. Ryan.
22.
Ryan Knauss mopped the floor with me last week in that league. I gotta pick myself up and get myself pulled back together. Meanwhile, though, Steve, and this actually connects right to back injuries. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Bucks have signed DeMarcus Cousins to a one-year deal. And I think, to me, this maybe says more potentially about what's going on with Brooke Lopez's back than standalone value for Boogie. And my instinct is, it's not like I'm running to pick up Boogie anywhere. What was your reaction to seeing this news?
Literally, I went, huh, and then put my phone back down and went right back to what I was doing. Because, you know, I get alerts. Like when Woj or Shams drops a bomb, I immediately find out about it from my phone.
Your alarm clock goes off.
Yeah, the ringtone goes off. But I don't want to get – I can't do like our guy Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher used to get Twitter notifications on his phone from like over 100 writers. So his phone had an alert like every 30 seconds of every day. And I can't do that, but I do it for the big ones. And you know – like if there's big news, like if there was a bomb that Ja Morant was actually lost for the season, that's a situation where I drop my phone and run to my computer or just get on my league from my phone and pick a guy up. But, you know, I'm not running anywhere to pick up DeMarcus Cousins, especially with all these injuries that I have. But he's worth keeping an eye on because, like you said, Brooke Lopez – when are we going to see him again? And is this more of a sign that Brooke Lopez is not going to play anytime soon than it is Boogie's ready to contribute?
Yeah. And I mean, we had recently gotten a relatively optimistic report on Brooke Lopez, but this gives you some pause when it comes to that. And by the way, when it comes to Mike Gallagher, the next time someone beats him to a free agent or waiver wire pickup in a league will be the first time, as far as I know. Like, I've never seen someone faster to pick up guys in a fantasy league than Gallagher.
No, and it's funny because last night I dropped Goran Dragic in our 30-team league because he's out indefinitely or whatever.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I can put him in my injured spot, and this is a 30-team league. I've got to go get him back. And that league's a free-for-all. Like, you can drop a guy, pick him up immediately. There's no waiver period.
Right.
And so then I'm like scrambling to go back in there. I'm like, oh, my God, I know Gallagher's running to his foot. He's like on his way here right now to get Dragic. I've got him. Hurry. And I got him back. But I know it was only by seconds, man.
Well, that's amazing. I'm enjoying picturing that. The frantic look on your face as you try to get him back.
It was frantic.
So, I mean, the only other thing I wanted to say about this Bucks center situation is Bobby Portis has been really good. He's not a guy that we've talked about, you and I have talked about much, but for the season, 15.4 points per game, 8.4 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 0.9 blocks, 2.03 pointers. That's a career high in blocks. I think it's a career high in three-pointers made. He's shooting 44.4% from distance. I mean, he's just having a really solid season, and I doubt that the arrival of Boogie Cousins could really wreck that at this point. So I think if I have Portis rostered, I'm not going to overreact to this news in any way just yet, Steve.
Yeah, I'm not either. And one thing about Portis is it's interesting that you and I have not – I don't think we've mentioned his name one time, probably since the Bucks-Hawks playoffs series last year, mm-hmm. when Portis actually was – kind of a he disappeared at times, but he also had some big moments in the playoffs. And he's a guy, like, I'll be setting a DFS lineup and I'll see Portis and I'm just like, no, and I just look for somebody else. But that is a problem. That is a mistake by me, because he's been, like you said, really good, and he's the only guy that can play center for them right now. So He sort of can't lose.
Meanwhile, Joel Embiid returned from a 9-game absence and promptly dropped 42 points, 14 rebounds, 3 dimes, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 2 threes in 45 minutes. You're shaking your head, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, what a performance that was. And they lost, right?
Yeah, they lost to Minnesota.
Yeah, right? And if you look at that box score, I don't know, man. That was a weird game. That was a weird one. But welcome back, Joel Embiid.
The thing that stands out to me from that box score, other than Embiid's numbers, is that Tyrese Maxey played 44 minutes and still had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 9 dimes, 1 block, 1 triple. He didn't shoot it well, but everything else there, quite encouraging for Maxey, a guy we've talked about, is just kind of being in the circle of trust now for the Sixers and for fantasy managers. It just feels like we're there, and I don't think, fingers crossed, we're going back.
We are not going back because Ben Simmons is toasty. He is, we know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tobias Harris had a big line. Joel Embiid was awesome. Maxey, 15-4-9. He's going to end up being one of the fantasy steals of the year, I think. Like the best value pick in your draft, he's going to be one of those guys. Danny Green is back for them. Obviously, if you have shares of Andre Drummond, this is a problem. This is not good news, this Joel Embiid return.
Yeah. By the way, the Timberwolves, we briefly mentioned, are 10-10, 7-3 in their last 10. So that team, fun to see that team off to a good start or a solid start.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell was crazy in that game. And then you got solid performances from Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. Those are their big three. And that's if they start playing like the big three, and then you've got Vando kicking in 14 rebounds and a little Naz Reid off the bench, you know, maybe they can do something here.
Well, elsewhere, the Houston Rockets, Steve, have won, do my eyes deceive me, two in a row. They beat the Bulls last week, and then they beat the Hornets over the weekend, 146-143. And I want to bring this up because news broke over the weekend that via Woj that John Wall was discussing a return to play with Houston. I think a bunch of people, I certainly saw him get picked up in some of my fantasy leagues. But then we got news on Sunday via Shams Charania that Wall will continue to sit out games. So for you, Steve, is there anything at all to see here when it comes to Wall? Because to me, it certainly feels like there isn't.
No.
Which one? They played together in Houston and in college. John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins. Which one moved the needle more for you as you looked at your phone briefly?
Probably Cousins, just because I think he might actually play.
Yeah.
I don't know when we're going to see Wall. But, man, do you think that this Wall news lit a fire under Kevin Porter Jr., possibly? Because on Saturday, he went for 23 points, 8 boards, 12 assists, 4 turnovers, hit 7 of 16 shots. Like for him, that's like game of the year. Like that is beautiful.
Yeah.
And the game before that, 5 of 13 shooting, 2 threes, 14 points, 6 boards, 9 assists, 6 turnovers, not great shooting, horrible turnovers, but a better performance than normal. You know, 21 assists in his last 2 games with 7 boards and 20 points. I hope that's here to stay.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, especially considering this is a guy that a lot of people were like, do I drop this guy? What do I do early in the season? I don't think we ever told anyone to drop him.
No, but I know people did. I know people did drop him. I mean, people asked us about dropping him.
Speaking of Houston and frustration, I don't know if you remember last week when your co-host said something about trying to trade a frustrating Christian Wood for Cade Cunningham, but I revisit that now. That trade offer got declined, my Christian Wood for Cade Cunningham, and I'm really relieved because Christian Wood had a career-high 33 points on Saturday night. His last 4 games, he's at around 18 points per game, 12 boards, nearly 4 assists, 1.8 blocks, 1.3 threes, shooting 54% of the field and 75% from the line over his last 4 games, which is obviously a huge sign for him. His free throw shooting was just horrendous in his first 15 games. So all in all, it looks like we're starting to get back something much closer to last year's Christian Wood as opposed to the really frustrating early season version we had.
You know, Matt, it's funny you said they've played 2 games since last Monday. He went 16-10-6 with 2 blocks and 2 threes. He went 33-16 with 2 blocks and 2 threes in those 2 games. When we were meeting here last Monday, that was just before he racked up 2 of 6 shooting for 4 points, 9 boards and 1 block. So I think we were talking to you a week ago. You were closer to, Am I having the distress signal thrown up, which I guess is what you were saying. But man, that last game he had Saturday against Charlotte was pretty awesome. And, you know, that's the guy, you know, Christian Wood was sort of like my last year was my Michael Porter Jr. And he got hurt. He struggled with consistency and stuff. So I kind of hope he fully blows it up and breaks out.
All right. The Hawks lost a game to the Knicks over the weekend. They also lost Bogdan Bogdanovic to a sprained ankle. He's out at least 2 weeks. They also lost Cam Reddish to a sprained left wrist. That'll happen in rapid succession. All of this, Steve, we don't have to spend a lot of time here, but I think this means increased usage for Kevin Huerter, obviously, and Danilo Gallinari. And I'd be sticking with Huerter in particular. Even though he's been quiet the last couple games, he played 30 minutes on Saturday night. I think bigger games are coming for Huerter if you have him or if you consider him on the waiver wire. And I wouldn't live too much in those recent box scores, and I would just project for some better days ahead because the opportunity is going to be there for him big time.
Well, Gallo got 11 shots in that game, 6 3-pointers. He only hit two of 11 shots. So had he made some shots, his line would have looked a lot better. But yeah, Herter's the guy. Gallinari is the second guy. The guy you don't even want to think about touching, even if you get an inkling that you should, is Solomon Hill. And in our DFS in our DFS game that I played with my buddies, Richard had Solo Hill in his lineup one night. And I was like, hey, dude, enjoy those 2 points and two rebounds from Solo Hill tonight. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, that's just what he does. That's all he does. Oh, well, except for Saturday, he was 0 points and 4 rebounds. It all evens out in the wash, right?
Yeah. Classic Richard right there, I would say.
Classic Solo right there. 0 points, 4 rebounds, and a steal. Thanks, dude.
LaMelo Ball had his second triple-double of the season on Saturday, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. We had a discussion the other day where you said he was flirting with a triple-double, I believe is what you said. Or you said before the season that he was going to flirt with a triple-double. Then you declared that he was flirting with a triple-double. I said, I don't know. Is that really the definition of flirting with a triple-double? I'm going to say, Steve, I think you're almost there now. 19.4 points, 7.9 rebounds, 8 assists per game. I think if you can get those rebounds up over 8, he'll be at like 19, 8, and 8. And I think that's officially flirting at that point.
In what world is 7.9 not 8, Matt?
It just doesn't, I don't know.
Your world?
Yeah, in my world. You're in my world now.
Okay, well, your world is stupid.
I often think that myself.
But no, he's at 7.9 rebounds and 8 assists. And I think when we were talking about it last time, those numbers were both closer to 7 than they were.
They were. They were, and that's where my hesitation came in.
He's getting even better.
He is. And by the way, 1.9 steals, 2.7 threes on the season. He's number 6 overall on average in 9 category fantasy leagues. Is there a more fun fantasy player this year than LaMelo, Steve? I'm not saying the best. Obviously, Steph Curry would be number one on a lot of people's boards. But is there one more fun, especially considering where you got him in drafts?
This is no joke, man. I was walking to my closet today to put my Michael Porter Jr. shirt on. And I said, man, I need something of LaMelo Ball's. Like, I need a LaMelo Ball real jersey or a jersey. I even thought about busting out my Bobcats sweatshirt that I was telling you about recently.
Yeah.
There's no player that's more fun to watch than LaMelo. And to tell you how funny is, the other night I had the Hawks game on one of my TVs, and on the other one I had to choose between Luka and LaMelo, and I went with LaMelo.
Wow. By the way, even LaMelo's bloopers are fun. He had a breakaway the other night where he like tried to throw himself, bounced off the floor to himself for an alley-oop and just bricked the dunk spectacularly, and it was like still great theater.
Well, you know, it's also interesting about this is Terry Rozier and how well he's playing. Now, his ranking is not very good, I don't think.
It's gone way up, though. He's into the 60s, I think, after a horrible start. You know, he had that ankle injury, but he is coming on. And it's funny that you brought him up because last week in 4 games, 26.3 points, 4 assists, 2.8 steals, 0.8 blocks, 5.0 three-pointers. He shot 51, almost 51 from the field, almost 85 from the line with just one turnover. Truly a wow week from Terry Rozier.
It really was. He was amazing. And if you were rolling with him and LaMelo and DFS, you were killing it. And when Roth and I did our podcast last time. I don't think it was I think it was when Raf and I do Thursdays. I said something like, does Charlotte have one of the most dynamic and best backcourts in all of the NBA right now? And that was when Rozier was ranked. He was like a 10th rounder, and LaMelo, his numbers were not flirting with a triple-double as much as they are now. But, man, I mean, they look really, really good.
We have some more. We have some waiver wire leftovers coming up. Some players we didn't mention on our waiver wire podcast last week coming up in just a second.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First, though, I want to remind you to download the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet and enter this week's free NBA pick and roll contest for a chance to win $50,000. This week, we're highlighting matchups between the 76ers and Celtics, Hornets and Bucks, and Timberwolves and Wizards. So if you don't have the Predictor app yet, download it now. All right, Steve, we're going to make these quick hits here. All right, you ready? In no particular order, Chris Duarte is 34% rostered in Yahoo Leagues, struggled some recently, but had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, with 3 steals and 2 threes in 30 minutes on Sunday. I thought our most recent NBC Sports Edge blurb was kind of down on Duarte, but he had a slump. I think he's coming out of a little bit. So I kind of like him again. And I was wondering if you know how many times Indy plays this week.
3.
Okay.
3 times.
Well, 3 times. But a lot of 3-game weeks this week, right?
Yeah, it's mostly threes. There's 8 4-game weeks. Everything else is 3.
Okay. Are you into Duarte at all at this point?
So it's an average week for Duarte. I have no issues with grabbing him if he's sitting out there. But it just depends on who else is available in your league.
Okay. Well, let's say Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is also available in your league. Over his last 5 games, he's at 15.6 points, 3.8 rebounds, 1.4 steals, and 2.6 threes. He's on fire right now. The Wizards play a grand total of
4 games.
4 games. So 4. I think we've, all things being equal, we've got KCP ahead of Duarte, and I have them both ahead of Malik Beasley, who is also 33% rostered. All these guys in the same range. He was a huge letdown on Saturday. 5 points and 1 triple in 24 minutes. The previous 2 games, though, he had a total of 47 points and 10 threes and has some increased potential with no Patrick Beverley around.
Yeah, Pat Bev not being there is the key to that one. So, and yeah, Beasley was terrible on Saturday, so there's a decent chance he's sitting there. Like you said, before that, he was playing really well and was kind of a key contributor to that team, and he should continue to be without Beverly. So, oh, how about the Pat Bev injury? We didn't talk about that, Matt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think the day we said, that's man, right. when he's done, you'll know he's done. Like, you won't have to think about it. And then immediately.
Yeah.
It was over.
Right. Well, yeah. As we said, we pre-taped our Friday episode before Thanksgiving, and we said when we pre-taped it, it's only a matter of time before this thing falls apart, and you will know. And lo and behold, it happened like right after we recorded that episode.
And we're not laughing or celebrating anyone's injury by any means. I think, especially
not at all,
since I had Patrick Beverley on two of my teams. It was just the timing of everything was interesting. Yeah. I don't feel like we jinxed him either, Matt. We knew it was just a matter of time.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing. We can't. We're not capable of it. Marcus Morris Sr. had 13 points, 6 rebounds, 5 dimes with 2 threes in 34 minutes on Sunday. 27% rostered. 4 games. Steve is holding up 4 fingers. So is this one doing anything for you this week, Steve, assuming Nicholas Batum is out?
It actually is. It's actually doing so much for me that I contemplated for a brief 10 minutes last night staying up until 3:30 in the morning when waivers would turn over, so I could go grab him in all my leagues. Instead, I went to bed and I've been there ever since. So he's probably gone. But when we're done here,
I've been there ever since. For those of you listening on the podcast, Steve is lying in bed right now doing this podcast.
Actually, I'm not. If there was no video involved, I might be though.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm all in on Marcus Morris, at least until the wheels fall off.
All right, speaking of the wheels falling off, we know it's going to happen at some point for Eric Gordon, who is 18% rostered, but double digits in 4 of his last 5 games, 5 or more assists in 3 of his last 5, including 22 points, 7 dimes and 4 threes in that win over the Hornets on Saturday. Steve once again held up 4 fingers for 4 games. So Steve, prioritizing Marcus Morris Sr. or Eric Gordon, do you like both about the same?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of difference between them. It's sort of like corn oil and peanut oil.
Interesting.
Can't really tell a difference, but I'll go with Marcus Morris.
Okay.
But the best news about that is that means we get 4 games from Christian Wood this week, which you've got to be psyched.
I am excited. Steve, your guy Facundo Campazzo, benefiting lately from Bones Highland being out, it would appear, averaging 28 minutes per game over his last 4 all of a sudden. And during that stretch, he's around 12 points, 3.3 dimes, 1.8 steals, 2.8 threes. And he's 4% rostered in Yahoo leagues. And you're now going to tell me that Denver plays how many games this week?
3 games.
Yeah, 3. Dang it.
That's a deep league.
I kind of like this new version of the game where I do the whole setup and then you hold up the number of fingers and then we're like, oh, only 3. Too bad. Could have worked out.
It was so close. Yeah, I don't think Campazzo in a 3-game week, unless you're in, you've got to be in a pretty deep league to make that work. Even
sure
coming from his number one supporter, you know, I'm not even jumping on that bandwagon.
Wow. I never thought I'd hear you say something like that about your guy.
I never thought my voice would crack like it just did.
Okay, last one. My sister this weekend, who is in no way, shape, or form a basketball fan, texted me to report that she had spotted outside a New York hotel one JaVale McGee. Now, she is in no way, shape, or form, as I said, a basketball fan. So, Steve, she was not trying to get an autographed pair of shoes from him. That's not why she saw him. But I bring this up because, A, it's just jarring that my sister made any sort of sports reference to me at all. I don't know how she knew who JaVale McGee was. That's a mystery that we'll have to forever wonder. But
I can answer that.
You think she asked someone?
Well, when you come into real life contact with guys who are 7 feet tall,
yeah,
like you just know.
Yeah.
Like even if you have no idea who JaVale McGee is or you're not a basketball player, like say my mother, if she was walking down the street in New York and saw JaVale McGee, she'd be like,
wow.
She'd be like, dude, there is a 7'2" guy here.
Yeah.
And he clearly plays in the NBA.
Right.
I mean, how does he not?
Right.
So she just could figure it out. And then she hung around and people were like, that's JaVale McGee. And she got word on the street.
Right. That is how I think pretty accurate. But I also bring this up because you know how we occasionally joke about a per 36 minute fantasy league drafting players?
Oh, dude. He's 12 minutes a night and he's like double-double.
Yeah. In his last 9 games, in 16 minutes a game, he's averaging around 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.2 blocks. He's 29% rostered in Yahoo. So people actually have picked him up in a decent amount of leagues. And I think he's kind of playable right now, Steve.
He is. I mean, it's hard because I looked at his game log. I was like, man, do I need to pick up JaVale McGee? I look at the game log. It's like 12 minutes, 13 minutes, 10 minutes, 14 minutes. And I just, it's really, really hard to get behind somebody who plays so few minutes, but the stats are there right now. So I don't know. Maybe in my league where I'm struggling mightily, we can look at him. Actually, I guess carry on.
Well, no, that's it. We're at the end of the line. So it's good that we
sputtered
out
there. I had this weird dream last night that Jared and Jonas and you all had me on your show, or all had me submit. We were all supposed to submit guys we've dropped and guys we've picked up in our leagues lately. And in one league in particular, I dropped like six guys and picked six guys up. And you guys were all like, this is perfect. Like, this is the most perfect list of ad drops we've ever seen. You've done an incredible job, Steve. And this was a dream. So it was, of course. And like, one of the guys I dropped was Sekou Doumbouya. And like, there's nothing smart about having him on your fantasy team, Mike. So all this stuff I dropped should have never been there in the first place. But you guys were just raving about how great my ad drop list was.
We were so proud of you. And I am proud of you for dropping Doumbouya. I think that was really smart, I got to say. All right, that's going to do it for us. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you listen. Take a second to rate and review us as well. We're here Monday through Friday every week throughout the season. I want to say thanks to everyone for listening and for watching live. Steve, thank you. I will talk to you soon.
JaVale plays 3 games. Goodbye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.